They've got the wrong number.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You've probably heard this statistic before. 45 million Americans have no health insurance. That figure comes from the Census Bureau. But a new study out today says it's way off. The real number is twice as big. Helen Palmer reports from our health desk at WGBH.
Consumer group Families USA crunched the numbers. Its director, Ron Pollock, claims that more than a third of adults were uninsured last year.
There were 89.6 million people, almost 90 million people, who are uninsured at some point over the last 2 years.
The problem with the census is the only people it calls uninsured are those who had no coverage the entire year. That's why Families USA's numbers are so much bigger. In five of the most populous states, like Texas, Florida, and California, over 45% of adults had spells of uninsurance, mostly lasting 6 months or longer, and most of them were working.
70% of them are in families where the breadwinner is working full time. So this is a story about working families who don't get coverage in the workplace and who simply can't afford it on their own.
Pollock says this spotty coverage is costing us all. Families without insurance typically delay needed treatment and can end up in the emergency room, the most expensive care of all. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
For the most part, the stock market rally is still going this morning. In Asia today, shares hit a collective all-time high. They were up about 1%. But European shares are down so far. The bank Northern Rock took another blow as its stock dropped 30% to a new record low. Yesterday, the Dow climbed 76 points to 13,815. The NASDAQ put on 14 to 2666. The S&P 500 added 9 to 1529. The company that brought you armchair shopping is about to do something it's never done before. QVC is launching a major advertising campaign. More now from Lisa Napoli.
When you think home shopping, you probably think ladies sitting on the couch buying cubic zirconia. QVC is trying to dispel that image. It's launching its first ad campaign in its 21-year history. Turns out lots of people already know the joys of retail therapy conducted from the comfort of their living rooms. QVC has shipped over 1 billion packages to a devoted audience of couch potatoes around the world, and it's sold $7 billion worth of stuff last year alone. Brand expert Eli Portnoy says it's smart for QVC to finally do some marketing, not just to people who turn their noses up at the channel, but to the millions of customers it already has.
I don't care how good you think your brand is, you never can lose sight of reinforcing who you are to your core audience and keeping your message out there, and you can't stop. The moment you stop, you're old news.
It's not by accident that the campaign's launching now. After all, it's just 94 shopping days till Christmas. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
94 days, that might not be enough to save retailers this Christmas. The annual holiday shopping forecast came out this morning. The National Retail Federation predicts sales will grow just 4% from last year. That would be the slowest growth since 2002. The reasons are pretty obvious. The housing market, the credit market, the job market. And I'm guessing the toy recalls out of China won't help. The upside, stores will probably offer lots of bargains.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. Publictransportation.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Over the past year, we've seen huge immigration protests in many cities, hundreds of thousands of people marching in the streets. This week in Washington, there was a much smaller protest that kind of slid under the radar. Specifically, these were skilled immigrants, unhappy with the current policies. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us. Chris, what were they saying?
You know, U.S. immigration policy is an absolute disaster. And skilled workers, skilled immigrants that are critical to our biotechnology industry, our computer industry, information technologies, the media industry, are coming under some of the same troublesome issues that are sweeping over unskilled immigrants. We actually are talking a lot about the growth and future profits of American companies.
Do you think the skilled immigrant groups are trying to break away from the unskilled labor?
Well, that's one of the ways that I am looking at this story, because with the comprehensive immigration reform that the president and Senator McCain and a number of other people tried to back, skilled immigrants and unskilled immigrants were united. Well, that has completely collapsed. And right now with the presidential election, you can see that very little is going to be done in terms of immigration, at least until we get another president. What the skilled immigrants are doing is saying, look, we understand there's a lot of problems here with unskilled immigrants. There's a lot of problems here with illegal immigrants. No one can come with a consensus. But deal with us. All right, let's just narrow the focus. We bring a lot of skill to this economy. And by the way, if U.S. companies can't get the skilled workers here that they need, they're just going to outsource it anyway. They'll outsource it to India, they'll outsource it to China, they'll outsource it to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So it's in the U.S. corporate interest, in the U.S. economy's interest, to at least increase the number of skilled immigrants that we have and make it easier for skilled immigrants to be permanent residents here, rather than have companies decide, well, if we can't get them here, we'll get them elsewhere.
What do these groups want Congress to do exactly?
Basically, what they want to do is they want more green cards. They want to increase the number of green cards, which obviously allows you to work here. And let's, by the way, if a lot of them are coming from India 1 year, so what? A lot of them coming from China 1 year, so what? Let's just say we're going to welcome skilled immigrants. We're going to make it easy for them to move here. We're going to make it easy for them to have permanent residency. And by the way, they can shift around to other companies and other jobs if they're available. That's to the benefit of our economy.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.